And joining us this morning is Dr. Griffin Rogers. He is here from the National Institute of Diabetes and Digestive and Digestive Kidney Diseases here to talk about National Diabetes Month. Dr. Rogers, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Tommy and Jeff, thanks for having me on your show. And this particular year, we want to raise awareness and promote the message of the increased risk of cardiovascular disease in among people with diabetes.
Now, that's interesting because I think we think of, you know, when we think of cardiovascular disease, we think, you know, fats, cholesterol, trans fats, things like that. I don't know that we always think diabetes as an indicator of heart trouble. What is that link there? Why do people with diabetes have an increased risk of heart disease?
Well, with diabetes, damage is done to the blood vessels and to the heart associated with the high levels of blood sugar that occur over very long periods of time. In fact, adults with diabetes are nearly twice as likely to die from a heart attack or a stroke as people without diabetes. And people with diabetes tend to develop heart disease at a younger age than people without. And, you know, the numbers are staggering. There's 30 million people in this country with diabetes. It's about 10% of the U.S. population. And there in your state of Ohio, you're right at the national average. About 9.7% of adults in Ohio, according to the CDC, have diabetes.
And what are the different types of diabetes? Because we know my parents, for example, they have age onset diabetes. I know some of my kids' friends have diabetes, young kids. So obviously there's different types. What are the different kinds of diabetes that are out there?
Generally, there are two major types. There's so-called type 1 diabetes, which we often refer to as juvenile diabetes. It occurs in people who, for some reason, their immune system begins to destroy the cells that make insulin, the cells in the pancreas. The second type, the more common type, is type 2 diabetes, which is adult onset, and that makes up about 95% of that 30 million number that I mentioned. And as you just pointed out, that's usually associated with being older, being obese, smoking, having high blood pressure, runs in families, and things of that sort. Both type 1 and type 2, though, increase your risk for cardiovascular disease, that is strokes and heart attacks, because of that elevated levels of glucose over time.
Now, you have developed a list of ways, tools to reduce these risks. You call it the ABCs of diabetes care. Tell us about that.
That's right. Easy to remember. A stands for the A1C test. The A1C test is a measure of your blood sugar or blood glucose over the previous 3 months. And normally, working with your healthcare provider, I like to get that number below 7%. And the B stands for blood pressure. So not only does these high levels of blood sugar or blood glucose adversely affect the blood vessels in the heart, but so does your blood pressure. And is something that you want to talk to your healthcare provider. People with diabetes, the goal is to keep that number below 140 over 90. And then finally, the C stands for cholesterol. And of course, as you know, there's good cholesterol and there's bad cholesterol. And oftentimes your healthcare provider will check your both total cholesterol and your lipid levels. And you want to speak with that provider to ask what your goal should be. And then finally, we just throw this in, but S for ABCs, S stands for stop smoking. Obviously, we have to eat to live, but we don't have to smoke to live. And smoking independently causes damage to those blood vessels and contributes to the increased risk of heart disease and stroke. So there's very good literature that your listeners can get. There's an 800 number, 1-800-QUIT-NOW, for tips on quitting, or they can go to smokefree.gov to get information on that.
And how much of a role does sweets and candy play when it comes to diabetes?
Yeah, that's a frequently asked question. As I think you pointed out in the introduction, everything in moderation, you know, is what people should think about. It's not a direct link between how much sugars that you ingest and the risk of developing diabetes. But of course, eating a lot of high-calorie materials such as sweets increases your risk for obesity. And the obesity, in turn, is what makes the insulin that our bodies produce not work as well, and therefore is a contributor. So obviously, everything in moderation is sort of a good take-home lesson.
So correct me if I'm wrong, it's more a calorie thing than a sugar thing.
Yeah, it's a little bit of both. It's the type of the total amount of calories and the content, you know, what's in the substance that you're eating. So obviously your body, once it receives a sugar challenge, has to respond to that by increasing hormones like insulin. And over time, because of development of obesity and a lot of excess fat, that insulin doesn't work as well in keeping the sugar regulated.
And what effect does, obviously, so diet has a big effect on this. What about exercise? How does exercise help us?
Exercise is so important. If we knew exactly all the many ways that exercise provided its beneficial effects, and if we could put that in a bottle, that would be an amazing stuff,
yeah.
I tell you. Exercise not only lowers your blood sugar, it lowers your blood fat, it lowers your blood pressure, it's good for your heart and your respiratory system. And so it really has tremendous beneficial effects. It improves the way we think, our cognition. And so three things in terms of keeping our weight at a steady level is what we eat and how much we exercise. And then the third factor is how much we sleep. This is something that people often don't talk about, but our body really requires, in general, 6 to 7 hours of sleep for adults and obviously more for young adults. But I think this is very good appreciation and understanding why people who work late night shift have such a difficult time keeping their weight at a, you know, at a good level, and therefore they then increase their risk for cardiovascular disease and diabetes and others. So exercise, healthy eating, and sleep are all important.
Well, we're talking with Dr. Griffin Rogers of the National Institute of Diabetes and Digestive and Digestive Kidney Diseases. So, Dr. Rogers, where can people go? Do you have resources that people can find online to help them out and also to find the ABCs?
Absolutely. Thanks again for giving me this opportunity to speak with your listeners. If you want more information on diabetes and heart health, they can go to our website, niddk.nih.gov. To our sister institute, the Heart Institute, nhlvi.nih.gov. And they can follow us on Twitter, at NIDDKGov. Get more information on those ABCs and the links and what other tips one can follow.
Excellent. Hey, Dr. Rogers, thank you so much for being with us this morning. Really appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me on.